Amen. Today, our scripture lesson comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verse 43, where it is written that Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The word of God for us, the people of God. Today we continue our sermon series, The Seven Last Words of Christ, with these words of Christ on the cross. And we think about the reality that Jesus is on the cross in between two thieves, two criminals. We wonder to ourselves sometimes just how it is that he got here. Literally just a few days before this, Jesus was walking into Jericho, into the town there, and in the middle of Jericho was a large sycamore tree. And as he entered in, the crowds were gathering around because everyone wanted a chance to see Jesus, including a tax collector by the name of Zacchaeus. And some of us may remember Zacchaeus from VBS or Sunday school. There's a wee little man. And his name was Zacchaeus. And so he was racing out there to see Jesus, and he was so interested to at least see the man that he had heard about so much. And of course, we know that as a tax collector, that meant that he was a Jew who had sold out his countrymen and was now working for the Romans. So they really didn't like him. And so as he's racing to see Jesus, all the crowds are gathered together, and they're of course getting closer and closer to one another as Zacchaeus is trying to see something. And I'm sure there was probably once or twice there was a hand in the face to Zacchaeus to push him back, but Zacchaeus is not going to be held back. And so he races towards that sycamore tree. He climbs up so that he could see an image, a glimpse, a moment of Jesus. And of course, Jesus goes right towards that sycamore tree, and he looks up at Zacchaeus and says, "I'm going to have dinner with you tonight." I mean, what greater privilege could there be than to have Jesus coming in and having dinner? And Zacchaeus was a tax collector of all people. And so not only did Zacchaeus have dinner with Jesus, I'm sure Zacchaeus probably invited a few of his friends over, some of his fellow sinners and others, to come along for that meal. So Jesus is having dinner now with Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and all the sinners. And no doubt he's talking about the kingdom of God. And I so wish I could be a fly on that wall, just listening to the kinds of things that Jesus is saying. And we know from his ministry, we know what was recorded in the gospel, that when Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, he talked about it in ways that it seemed to turn the world upside down. When God's love is getting involved, suddenly everything is rearranged. And I can almost imagine them listening to these teachings of Jesus, and just it calls them, sinners as they are, it calls them to hear and to want to know more. And yet right outside, you had some of the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and they were thinking to themselves, "Who is this man? Jesus. He's supposed to be a righteous teacher, and yet look at who he is spending his time in company with. No righteous teacher would spend their time with these sinners." And Jesus, knowing what they're saying, he gets up and he walks out and he kind of gives them his own personal mission statement. He says, "Look, I came to seek and to save the lost." And so it is that we see near the end of Jesus' life that he's not there in a comfortable bed surrounded by family as they all gather to see him. Instead, as the way that he lived, so it is that he died with sinners all around. On Ash Wednesday, we heard about the first word of Christ, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." As Jesus is speaking out towards the crowd, those who had shouted, "Crucify him," yet did they fully understand the import of what they were saying? And today we hear Jesus turning to a criminal. No doubt the criminal knew what he was doing. He knew that what he was doing was wrong. And yet as I think about the ways that we are part of that crowd that Jesus says, "Father, forgive them," how the ways that we do things that we don't fully understand at times the import of what is being done. And yet also, likewise, I suspect that we are a bit like those criminals. I'm not aware of too many people in my life that I've met that can't say, you know, there was once or twice where I did something I knew I ought not to do. I suspect there may be once or twice in your life where you found that there was a few things that you did that, looking back, you wish you could have undone. And so we have Jesus here between these two criminals. And it's interesting that on one hand, one criminal is looking at Jesus, and it's amazing what he's saying. He's taking all of what the crowd is yelling at Jesus, and he just continues along with them. He just hurls insults upon Christ. And yet you have the other criminal on the other side. He hears the crowds. He hears this other thief on the other side of Jesus. And he says, why would you say that? I mean, we're receiving the punishment that is our due. But this man is innocent. He does not deserve what he is now receiving. And then the criminal continues on and he says one of the most insightful things we read in Scripture. He turns to Jesus and he says, remember me when you enter your kingdom. Now first we know that those terms, remember me, that has a long echo as we go throughout the Scriptures. God remembered Noah before there was a great flood. God remembered Lot, the nephew of Abraham, before Sodom and Gomorrah and punishment fell upon it. God remembered his promise to Abraham with his people there in bondage in Egypt. To remember, to be remembered by God, is to be saved, to be delivered. And so now we have this thief looking at Christ who's being crucified right next to him and saying, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. I suspect nobody else there was looking at Jesus and saying, this is the moment leading to his enthronement. And yet that is exactly what this criminal sees, and that's what he's asking Jesus. When you enter into your kingdom. And it makes me wonder, how many times has that criminal heard Jesus preach about this kingdom? When you enter into your kingdom, remember me. I think about the ways that we ourselves, there are times and there are places in our lives when we take a good look at ourselves, when we realize that there's a few things we've done that we ought not to do. And when we realize the truth of who we are before an all-holy God, what we are left with is saying, remember me, save me, deliver me. And we know that is exactly what God is doing in Christ Jesus. Because Christ turns to the criminal, to the thief on the cross, and he says, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. And I love that word today. Because every time we have a celebration of life here at Ocala West, when we are gathered there in remembrance of someone and their life, and we can say, today they are with God. Today their tears are dried away. Today there is no more pain. Today there is no more grief. Today they know this God who has saved and delivered them in a powerful, powerful new way. What a joy it is to hear when Jesus says, today you will be with me. And he not only says that, he says, you will be with me in paradise. And it's great as we look throughout the tradition and Christian history, and people have wondered and pondered, what do these words mean? What does it mean to be today with Jesus in paradise? And there's lots of great questions and lots of great thoughts. But I have to admit that for me, one of the key points of this text comes out in a story about a doctor quite a while ago. It was a time when he was on a horse and buggy and he was making house calls, back when doctors did those kinds of things. And as the doctor would travel along, he'd have his dog with him wherever he went. And there was one day he went to a gentleman's home. The gentleman was very, very sick. And so the doctor left his dog out on the porch as he went inside, and he was talking with the man, and the man knew that there wasn't much time left for him. And so he just cut through all the niceties, and he said, "Doc, so what's it going to be like? What happens? What's going to happen to me in death?" And right about that time, you could hear the dog scratching at the door. And the doctor said, "You know, do you hear that? That dog has never been in here. He has no idea what's in this place. But he knows his master is here. And that is enough." And I think to myself, out of all the questions and all the wonderful things we ponder about paradise and heaven, let us not forget the key point. That when we are there, that is where Jesus is. That Jesus has already made a place for us. That we will be there in his presence. And for us, that is enough. And so we, his disciples this day, who continue to seek after God's grace and forgiveness, for we know that we have done that which we ought not to do, I suspect that we find within these two criminals two responses to this Jesus, to this Messiah. And the question that each one of us must ask and answer is this: which criminal will I be? Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for this gift that you have given us in Christ Jesus, that to our cry in seeking of salvation and deliverance, you have sent your only begotten Son, that we may have life and that eternal. Lord, give us faith this day that we may trust in you, with even the faith of a mustard seed, that you have done all things for us necessary for salvation, that we receive you as a gift as we receive Christ as our Savior. And Lord, we thank you for this promise and for this hope that if this day life slips through our fingers, we will not slip through yours. For it is in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.